Well, given the subject matter that we're about to discuss this morning, you probably won't want your children listening for the next half hour or so. It is uncomfortable listening that you're about to experience over the next 20, 25 minutes or so, but it is a really important issue for us all here in society to discuss. So if you do have kids in the car, if the kids are listening to the radio this morning, I would say until about half nine, 25 to 10, make sure that they're not, all right? And that's your opportunity to hopefully switch the radio off. Now, for the rest of you, you're about to hear from a man who says he is attracted to children, but has never acted upon it. I've been presenting phone-in shows for, 15, 20 years now. And this is one of the most extraordinary calls I've ever taken from someone. It happened over the weekend. We were reporting on the comments made by Simon Bailey, the Chief Constable of Norfolk and the Child Protection Lead at the Association of Chief Police Officers. And he had said that men sexually attracted to children should be treated as patients, not criminals. And in the debate that followed, Sarah Good, who's a researcher, told us that she believes as many as one in five men may have the potential to be attracted to children as well as adults. Now, some others dispute those figures. But then a man contacted me. It's not his real name, but we'll call him Michael. And he says he was abused as a child. And then he claims he has fought against attraction towards children for most of his adult life. He told us he has never acted on those feelings. But what he does say gives us an insight into the situation as he sees it. Let's hear the interview in full. Michael, good evening to you.
Hello, how are you?
Obviously, you've contacted us, and you, Michael, have a story to tell us of how you were abused. Is that right?
Yes, it's a very simple story, which I'm sure happens in many families. I had a relative. I won't put it any closer than that. I had a relative who abused me over many years, from the age of about 3 or 4. At the time, because my family life itself was so bad through physical abuse and other things, I thought it was a bit of love, to be honest. And that's the way I grew up. And I subsequently discovered that this didn't happen to other people. But
how long did the abuse last, Michael?
Until about 18. I left home then. I couldn't stand it anymore.
So for many, many years?
Yes, it was over very many years, yes. And the thing is, I never turned them in. I never said anything about them because, as I said, at the time I thought it was love. I know it's not now, but I was terrified that the idea that, if you've been abused, you will be an abuser. I thought, well, that must apply to me. And when I got married and had children, and I had two daughters, and I made it absolutely clear to myself that I would never do this kind of thing to any, to them or anyone else. And I always found it very, very difficult. But I have always understood that there are many people, many, many, many men and women, I think, who are attracted to younger people, younger children.
And what do you mean?
I'm not one of them, by the way. I just want to make that clear. I'm not one of them, but I do understand that this happens, and I understand that I think prison is not the correct direction for these people.
When you say, Michael, you understand, what do you mean?
I can feel what they felt. I would never do such a thing, but I can feel what they felt.
Do you mean that you can feel some attraction to children, but you would never act upon it?
Exactly. Yes, and I had that feeling throughout my whole young life after I had been abused. If I hadn't been abused, I might not have had that feeling. I don't know. And I certainly have not been an abuser, and I would never have done such and never would do such. But so it has always struck me that, in fact, that appeal, in particularly in males, must be incredibly strong because you're looking at what they call purity, I guess, in childhood and youth and all that. You're looking at purity, and people sometimes, in their depth of despair or whatever it might be, want to corrupt that purity for their own self-ends. I think that can be understood, can't it? Can it not? I think it really can be understood.
I don't like it.
I think it's horrible, but I think it can be understood. And therefore, it has to be treatable. in some way, shape, or form.
So you have been you have been harbouring this secret since what age?
Oh, God. I first told someone else about it when I was 32. And that was from the age of 4 or 5, I guess. I don't really remember. I don't remember not being abused. That's the horrible thing about it.
I meant the secret of being attracted to children.
Oh, I'm not attracted to children as such. I recognize that that is within my potential, but I would not do that. I would never dream of
so
being...
So I'm hearing you loud and clear. So I'm hearing you loud and clear that you would not abuse a child.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And I hear that. But you are saying to me, and thank you for calling, by the way.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm saying is that the person who abused me made me understand that I can see how they would want to have abused me. So you're looking into a kind of mirror when you are a child, when you are yourself a child, feeling yourself to have been attracted by an older person. And then when I see someone nice and young and bright and lively, I think, oh, my God, she's very pretty. And then I think, oh, God, you mustn't think that. And that's the way it happens. But
does it frighten you?
It is. It terrifies me. It's always terrified me.
And, Michael, if you were finding it difficult, so you've been able to control that degree of arousal, okay? So you have never acted upon it.
I haven't.
But you're saying that at times you are attracted to children, but you've never acted upon it.
I can't remember the last time I was attracted to a child. I think it was in a drama of some sort.
Okay. But I guess here's the question that's relevant to what we've been discussing and what the Chief Constable of Norfolk has been discussing. So if there was help available in this country,
yes,
where you could go confidentially and without fear of prosecution and talk about those desires,
exactly,
would that be helpful? Would it make you less likely to offend?
Exactly. And I think it would be to an enormous number of people. I don't know how many, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands, but it would work. And
why do you say that? It's very rare. You can understand. Sorry, let me finish the sentence. It's very rare that you will have someone on a radio or television network saying that they are attracted to children, and you're doing hold on. You would never act upon it, and it doesn't happen very often.
Exactly,
I hear that. I hear all of that. So let me get inside your mind as to if you could talk to someone about it, if you could get help, what would you be asking? What help would you need?
I would be asking to make sure that there is some kind of fallback position that I would go to, some person I would go to and say, hey, come on, I just had this amazing feeling towards this kid, and I don't want to feel that. Can you help me? Just someone to talk to. That's all it's needed. I think you get over that, someone who has felt something similar in the past, someone who knows what they're talking about, and who knows that it is a criminal offense to do anything about it. That's the point. I know it's a criminal offense. I would know that it's not doable. But I need someone at that particular point. I would need someone at that particular point just to talk with. That would be the main thing to me.
Have you discussed this with other people?
Very few people, yes. Very few. I have a small number of people around me that know my voice and things, but they're not listening at the moment, so...
Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Have you told your wife?
Oh, yes. Yes, she knows all about my past and my past feelings.
Have you children?
Yes, I have told them.
Have you children?
I do have children, yes, 2 daughters, and I've never touched them in any way, shape, or form.
Michael, I'm not suggesting you have, but again...
No, it's very hard. It's quite difficult to be a parent when you've been abused in that way and you've crossed all kinds of boundaries. And so you need to have someone that you can possibly talk to.
Tell me what you mean it's difficult to be a parent. What do you mean?
Well, You don't want to touch them. You don't want to bathe them. You don't want to have close contact with them. But you do, because that's the kind of thing you're supposed to do. And so all the time you're doing this, you're feeling, now, should I feel this? Should I feel anything weird or odd? And you end up feeling like a complete idiot, basically. And you haven't done anything at all, but you feel very bad. And I'm sure that an awful lot of men feel this kind of thing. It's not just people who've been abused. I think an awful lot of men feel this sort of weirdity about the beauty of an innocent child. And it's not that one would want to corrupt that child. It's the fact that they are beautiful. You want to be able to say that, but if you say it in a way that's very meaningful or deep, you just get destroyed. People say you're a criminal or whatever, and you're not. You're just a weird thinker, I suppose. Sorry, I guess I'm reaching the end of my ability to talk here.
If you could get help, would you take it now?
Oh, yes, I certainly would if I could, but I don't think I'm a danger to anyone.
And what about the person
do you think I'm a, do you think I'm a danger?
Well, I'm not a qualified expert, Michael, but you're saying very, very loud and clear that you would not touch a child, that you would not abuse a child, and you've said that on a number of occasions.
And so, can you not have those thoughts at all? Is it illegal or bad to have thoughts about the innocence of children versus the corruption of children?
Can I ask you about the person who abused you? Are you not seeking justice?
No, I've forgiven them.
You've forgiven them?
It was the only way I could deal with it, to forgive them. And so I guess I'm hoping for forgiveness for my thoughts from everyone else. I don't mean to cause problems. I don't mean to be a trouble. I just am trying to explain how it feels.
Can you help me understand how, obviously, it is one of, if not the most abhorrent crime to commit, to violate the innocence of a child, the vulnerability that is associated with the child, and to exploit
that
for sexual gratification?
I entirely accept that.
Is abhorrent. So why forgive that person? Why not see them brought to justice? Why not hate them, Michael?
If one is one's own hatred of anyone, then you're hurting only yourself. And the only answer to that in the end is to forgive them. Now, I've spoken with, over the years, I've spoken with a lot of survivors of child abuse. I've spoken with a lot of people who are involved in the current conversation about the inquiry that's supposed to be going on in Whitehall that's been so screwed up. And I do know that there are an awful lot of victims of abuse who feel that they can never forgive. And I can understand that, because their treatment was so much worse than mine. But I do think that forgiveness is possibly the only answer towards the people who have done these kinds of things in the past, though they may need to serve prison sentences and to be considered to be victims, considered to be criminals in society. I do understand that. It may be better. Oh, sorry, I'm taking too much time.
I guess you're not taking too much time at all, Michael. I guess, though, that some people might argue that even if you don't want justice, maybe one of the reasons why you should report that person is that if they have abused you, they may have abused others, and they may still be abusing people.
I know that they've abused one other, and I've already spoken with that person in the past, a long time ago. And I know that happened, and we've talked about it, and we both decided not to do anything about it. There may have been others. I don't know.
Have you talked to the abuser about why they abused you?
I actually tried to talk to the person 2 years ago, and they thought I was talking about something else. I think they had repressed it. I don't know what happens in people's minds who do that kind of thing. I really don't. I think much a thrill from the victimization, whatever you might call it, that sort of, once that almost in a kind of explosion of whatever it is, sexuality, I guess. But once that's gone, they kind of forget about it, and they don't think about it.
It's criminality, again. Michael, rather than sexuality, isn't it?
Well, I don't know what it is. Yeah, of course it's criminality. I mean, any kind of deviation from power, if one abuses power in any way, shape, or form, that's always bad. And, you know, when one has power over a child or whatever, because you happen to be there and you're the grown-up, you should never, under any circumstances, you know, abuse that power. We all know that. But some people get overwhelmed by their sexuality, or you might say criminality, and do it. And that's horrible. We have to accept that that's horrible. I don't think in the end, because of the survivors, because it's important for the survivors to survive, I don't think that in the end that forgiveness is too much to ask. I think forgiveness is the only answer we have, to be honest.
A person deserves to be punished, Michael, surely.
Do you think so? Do you think, really? Why?
Why?
Why should we?
Why
shouldn't we just allow them to disappear into our past? That's what I would like to
allow
do.
Them
I
to
would
disappear.
Really love to do that.
Well, because justice would not be served, because they would not be punished for an abhorrent crime, because...
Oh, I know. You can... Yeah, okay, right. Yeah,
because they might think that getting away with it means they can do it again.
Well, I mean, that's an appalling thought. I don't think this person would have ever done it again after it happened. But I can't go on about this, to be honest.
Okay,
okay.
Well, listen, Kai...
I really appreciate being able to talk to you so straight and honestly. I just, you know, I don't want you to think I'm some kind of devil. And on the other hand, I don't want you to think I'm some kind of saint. Because I do believe...
Michael, let me be very clear to you. Let me be very clear to you what I think, okay?
Okay.
And I'll just state fact. You're a victim of child abuse. That's
right.
What you are.
Well, that is true.
And I would just urge you to get help.
I have tried to get help. I've given up in the end.
What is it like? I want to ask you this last question. It just strikes me that you're a victim and you're also harbouring thoughts of attraction to children which you've never acted upon. So can you lead any type of normal life with that inside your head?
I lead a very private life. I don't go out much. I don't see many people. I don't have many friends. I'm an old man now, so it's all right. I mean, I'm, you know, retired and I'm happy with my books and papers and manuscripts and all that sort of thing. I live in a kind of academic world of sorts.
Are you frightened?
I've always been frightened.
Of what?
When I wake up in the middle of the night and think that things are happening that I didn't want to have. Sorry, that sounds really terrible.
What do you mean?
It's awful.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? Well, it's very simple. I sometimes wake up in the night and think that I'm some kind of horrible abuser, but I'm not. That I never have been. I think that I've replicated the past, and I haven't. And so I don't know.
You're living with a fear that you...
Oh no! I know. God no! I wouldn't dream of going out and finding anyone to do anything with under any circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to be a kind of, you know, old guy.
So you've nightmares about it then?
I sort of have. Yeah, I have bad dreams. I wouldn't say nightmares. I have had nightmares in the past. Took me a long time to get over the abuse. I'm no longer worried that I'll abuse.
Were you worried at any stage?
I was, yeah, for about 20 years when I had children.
Did it ever get close?
No, never. I really hardened my heart against it all. Any kind of
closeness. What do you think is the difference, Michael, between someone who is attracted to children who abuses and someone like you who has been attracted to children who doesn't? How did you stop yourself?
That's an incredibly, incredibly good question, Stephen. I would say it's probably very simple. It's opportunity. And
opportunity?
I'm sorry to say that.
No, that's scary. That would suggest that you, at one stage, could not have stopped yourself.
My morality is very strong, but opportunity could have made it horrible. I mean, one's seen dramas on TV about, you know, young children throwing themselves at grown-ups and that kind of thing. Horrible stuff. But it's never happened to me, thank God. And I'm very lucky. I'm a very lucky man. I'm sorry. That's about all I can do.
Thank you so much. Why did you pick up the phone? Tell me why.
I wanted to try to explain that there are feelings in ordinary people that are similar to those feelings that probably appear in paedophiles, and that we shouldn't just make them into devils. We should try to help them. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. Because
I've been able to forgive, I think other people should try to forgive too, and then make sure nobody else does any stuff. Simple as that.
Michael, thank you for calling us.
Thank you, Stephen.
Well, that's a deeply uncomfortable listening experience, isn't it? Deeply, deeply uncomfortable. That's probably about the 7th or 8th time I've heard that now. And yes, there is criticism coming into the programme this morning for me even having given that man airtime. But if you think about the context with which we're talking about this today, you have one of the most senior police officers in the UK. In fact, he's the child protection lead at the Association of Chief Police Officers, a guy called Simon Bailey, saying that men who are sexually attracted to children should be treated as patients, not criminals. So there is a debate, and many people have rallied against that as well. So there is a debate to be had right across the country as to how you treat those people. In Germany, for example, they've got a poster campaign at the moment where they're trying to appeal to people with those type of tendencies to come forward and seek help. What are your thoughts as you've listened to that interview today? 08459 555 678.